These days that we are living under quarantine and in isolation from one another, there's a certain level of unrest in my own heart. I find myself looking to distract myself at times, learning more about technology than I really would like to. Even planning for the future is difficult when there's so many uncertainties, so many things that we don't know. Without knowing how long these restrictions will be in place, and even after they are lifted, what will life return to? There are so many questions and uncertainties that we don't have answers for. So I find myself wondering, is there something I am meant to be learning during these days? Will this time of isolation uncover some hidden fruit? Will it bear some good unlooked for, which I could not have anticipated? I sure hope it will. But I do sometimes fear that it has all been for naught, or for a very little gain anyway. That is a real concern of mine. In the back of my mind, I wonder, will there be something good that comes from all these measures that we are being asked to take and undergo? For many people, the sacrifices have been great. The full cost of life and of toil and of finances will be great and has been vast. Indeed, there are nagging questions in my mind. What will come of all this? How will it turn out? Will the good gained outweigh the cost? Will it have been worth it all in the end? These are questions that are on my heart, and perhaps on yours as well. When it comes down to it, I really don't know. I'm not sure. Who can know for sure? We can make predictions, we can think about it, we can fear about it, we can question in our hearts, but who is to say how in the end the cards will be played? It is undoubtedly having a great impact on our world, our nation, and us as individuals. And it is not something we could have controlled or changed. For most of us, we have had very little say in how this all took place in our lives. Today, once more, we have visited and walked the Passion of St. John. We've heard the words of Isaiah, who speaks of the suffering servant. Here is a recollection and an account of real suffering, a tale of betrayal, one of abandonment, of suffering, of cruelty, and of a wicked and brutal death. Jesus endured these things. He must have had a great conviction that all of these sacrifices were worth making. We know Jesus was motivated out of love. Jesus, you went to the cross for me. I'm grateful for that. I am. I'm grateful that you did this for me. You have given your life for me. And I am grateful for that. In our lives, we too are given a share in the cross. Some crosses are ours because of our own foolishness, our own sinfulness. We bring them upon ourselves by our actions and our choices. Other crosses we accept because we desire to have some good come from them, or we at least hope that some good will come from bearing those crosses. Whether it is being going through some sort of training or education, perhaps planting seeds and toiling labor to raise a crop, taking on debts in hope of making some profitable venture, even childbearing, and many more hopeful undertakings that we take on, these crosses that we carry. Then there are those crosses which I bear because of my professed union and commitment to Jesus. Because I consider myself his follower, I accept certain crosses. These things which I see as a sign of my love for the Lord. These are quite varied, actually. There are many ways we can enter into these things, from fulfilling our obligations to prayer, following our duties in our life, whatever our office or role is, or by willingly surrendering those things which we might be drawn to, but which, because of our union with Christ, we are bound to forego. For instance, for myself, a spouse and a family. For each of us, there are things which we let go of that are peculiar to our state in life or our circumstances. It could be that we let go of the life we had planned, perhaps becoming a mother or a father. We weren't ready to be that, but we are. Or at a time when we hadn't expected. Or maybe it means after the rupture of a marriage that we have to remain celibate. Perhaps it means I can't take on that position where I would earn more money because I'm unable to fulfill the obligations and duty to my family, or because it would put me in a place where I wouldn't be able to fulfill its obligations in good conscience. There are 1,000 ways in which the cross presents itself to us. Very often it's not convenient. It's not often that we prefer it. It's a burden, it's a weight, it's something that nags at us or annoys us, a thorn in our side. And very often we are presented with a chance to offload that cross. We are given the option to avoid it or put it upon someone else. But it's my cross. It's my cross. It was made for me. It's how Christ is inviting me to come to Him. And to reject that cross is to reject Christ Himself. He died that we might be freed from our sins, but there will always be a cross for each one of us. By bearing our crosses, especially the ones that bind us to Christ more tightly, we return God's great love. Jesus, you need not have endured your passion, but you chose to go through it with it for me. You made this a personal matter. You took my sins upon yourself. Now in my life, there are these little things that occur that test me. How precious few of these crosses do I willingly carry? You give me chances to show my love for you in a manner that is unmistakable. Will I take those opportunities? How often do I? These crosses are clearly being asked of me. Those ones which are offered to us in such a way that we know it's made for us. Not something that I created for myself, not the ones I accepted as a penance or as an added atonement, but the crosses that clearly are a sharing in your life and directly link me to you. The ones that I would not bear except that they are the price of being your follower. Do I accept these crosses? Like these circumstances that we are surrounded with today by the pandemic, when I face the crosses that bind me to you, Christ, I can find myself asking, is it worth it? Is it going to be worth it in the end? What difference will it really make? Does it all serve some purpose? I'm not always sure. For I can undergo sacrifices and sufferings if I know that it will be of some good. But when I can't see, when it's not obvious, when there's no certain gain, and I'm asked to undergo that cross, what then? The whole of the Christian life is held in the balance. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, and now he waits expectantly. He wonders, was it worth it? Will they accept my invitation? Will they follow me through the cross toward what comes after? Will I accept the cross for love of you, Lord? Do I love you enough to accept that cross? The cross that you accepted for me, do I do the same for you? Or will the cross be an obstacle to me? Will it remain something that I'm unmoved by, a gesture of love and sacrifice that was offered, but that I don't want to fulfill? Will the concerns and cares of the world lead us to seek a different way to deal with our crosses, or to avoid it altogether? Undoubtedly, We can choose to flee from our crosses. We can reject them. We can put them upon another. Jesus chose to accept the cross for love of me and of you. And the question we are confronted with today, and really every day, is, will I willingly participate? Will I too choose to love God, to remain steadfast? Though I will stumble and fall, though I know I will fall short of the mark, in the end, will I continue to cooperate with the grace that God offers to me? And will I bear the cross alongside you, Lord? Perhaps, just perhaps, this will be one of the fruits of these days of the coronavirus. A realization that it is in our crosses, not our distractions or amusements, that we meet Christ and come closer to Him. Oddly enough, perhaps these days will be for us a help to accept the cross and turn aside from all the empty show and promises of the world, the flesh, and the devil.